Hallelujah. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Well, we're just so honored to be here, yes, and I've enjoyed that message, too. It speaks to me that, you know, I never want to lose my song, you know, no matter what happens in life. One of the things that we always fight against is he's a stealer, but he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your joy. And so I just refuse to allow the enemy to steal that fruit of the Spirit. Come on. That there are just certain things that I'm just going to laugh. And so rather than get upset at everything, that Lord Jesus, help me to put things in perspective that we can laugh at the enemy, because the Lord sits on his throne and laughs at the plan of the wicked. So I want to just join my Father, come on, in holy laughter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I can't wait to unpack what the Lord has laid on my heart for you tonight. Would you welcome Miss Meliana as she comes?
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you again. Again, it's such a privilege for us to be back here tonight, all of us here in his presence. Amen. He's right. I had so much fun on social media posting stuff, you know. Your friend with me on, yeah, make fun of everything. Riot, mask, everything. But again, hey, we might as well laugh at what the enemy is trying to do to his people. Amen. If you were here this morning, I share about me relying on a fast runner to lead me to the finish line. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. Amen. Nowadays, people are looking, especially for so much uncertainty, looking for somebody that is so strong, believe in the Lord, so they can guide him to a place of peace, place of joy, place that they can rest. And we can only find it in the presence of God. Amen. But also, I remember I learned something that morning when we were on a race. I tell you what, John and I have done a lot of race in different parts of the country. But this was the best race that John and I have ever done, because it was held at Disney World, and Disney World put it together. And, you know, the amazing thing it was, every 2 miles, some of you that have done races, a lot of people over there, they provide water. But I tell you what, Disney World, they have done the best to any race that we have done. Every 2 miles, there are workers, Disney World workers, are standing over there, and their job is to hand you a cup of Gatorade, water, anything that you need. Also, every 2 miles, they also, not only the Gatorade, they also workers over there, they hand you a little bag about this big package that is inside there. There are jelly beans. And you know what those jelly bean is? It's loaded with caffeine. So to give you if you need that energy. And not only that, there are some, they have anything that, some, they hand you a little package of cream. I've seen a lot of people, they grab it, you know, put it on your leg, behind your leg. I think it's help you with the muscle behind your leg to not to be sore. But I remember the 10th mile, I think it was 10th mile, I remember there are even workers over there all along. There are even, I think, every 3 miles, there are ambulance workers over there waiting to see if somebody got hurt, you know, that they are right there to help you if you needed any help. And even, again, every 2 miles, there are even characters all standing on every mile just to cheer you on. I tell you what, I almost got off from the race, go take a picture with the characters. But what happened? There were so many people got off from the race, took pictures and right with the characters, and after that, then got back to the race and kept going. But I remember in the beginning of the race, there were so many people. I felt so, boxed in. I wanted to move on and run, but I couldn't keep just walking because there were so many people, you can't go nowhere. And I found myself got off from the the where I supposed to be, the path, and went off to the side because I wanted to run. And I remember when I got off from the path and started running on the side, our workers, Disney World workers, ran up to me and said, "Ma'am, ma'am, ma'am, you can't run over there. Get back into the path." So I found myself, got back into the path. And I found out why, which I already know why. The reason why, because every racer, every person that race, when you register and when you have to show up a day early, you have to go and get your chip. That you have to put it on your, it's on your pips, or if it's not on your pip, you have to tie it on your shoelaces. So that way, when you cross the fin, I mean, when you cross the starting line, that's when they start counting your time. And also, when you cross the finish line, they also find out that's when you completed the race. But anyway, and I was just so blessed, so amazed with how Disney World brought their workers, line up on every 2 mile, and their job is to give you whatever you need. They will not run for you, but they'll give you whatever you need, water or energy bean. But this was so funny. Toward the 10th mile, there were some people over there even hand you or say, "Do you need Tylenol?" So do you need Tylenol? Guess what? I took the Tylenol. Because I think after the 10 mile, I felt like that my toes are coming off. So, but anyway, I took that. I thought that was so funny. But anyway, why did Disney World send their workers and put their workers on every 2 mile? Why? To give you water and energy drink and all that. Their whole purpose is to help you whatever you need, their desire for every runner to finish the race and make it to the finish line. Amen? As I was running down the path and they were handing us Gatorade, energy bean, and all the things, whatever we need, the thought came to my mind, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Miliana, as long as you stay where I called you to be, because the moment we have accepted Christ, he marked us with his blood." For me, that is like the chip, okay? They can't be able to read me if I got off from the trail, from the path, but as long as I stay in the path, that way they will be able to find where I'm at, that I'm continue to stay in the path. And the Lord spoke to me, "Miliana, as long as you stay in a place where I called you to be, my protection, my provision, my blessings will always be right there. You don't have to worry about anything." Just how he sent the workers to get me back into the path. Just how he got the workers to hand me Gatorade when I'm thirsty. To hand me Tylenol when I needed it. And God is speaking to some of you here tonight. God is saying to you, as long as you stay where he wants you to be. What it means that we obey his word. Amen? As long as we obey his word, God's protection will be on you. I have seen it in my life. As we travel all over this place, exposed to all kind of sickness. I mean, seeing how God protected us from accident. I mean, just like what he mentioned, over 30 years, didn't have any sickness, caused us to, we had never missed a service for over 20 years. Going on 24 years, and we speak 20 to 25 times a month. And that is the faithfulness of God. Again, when we stay in a path where God wants us to be, He will always provide the need, the finances to take care what we need. Always provide the health that we need so we continue to travel. Listen, I'm grateful. Lord, I thank you for your provision financially. But if I am sick, I cannot travel and do what God called me to do. If I'm dealing with anger, bitterness, hatred, depression, there's no way I can get up and encourage people. But that's why stay where God wants you to be and watch Him provide everything that you need. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And let me kind of share my testimony of the half marathon on Disney. I will tell you, Meliana beat me. Come on. No, I'm exaggerating. She'll get in trouble. We'll just say an hour and a half. we had flown from California on a Thursday evening and got to Orlando. And when we flew there, the next day my son-in-law, we spent the whole day filming video, and then the next day in the morning at 5 in the morning, the marathon started. Start at 5, so we had to be there like 3:30 in the morning, and then after the marathon, we had to get to the airport and fly all the way back to California and that was on Saturday. And we had to speak two services in the morning at the church we were speaking at, and then we had to drive another hour and a half, 2 hours, to the next church that we were speaking at 6 o'clock. Come on, are you hearing me? Now, who does that? Come on, who does that? Well, half marathon, and I kind of got lost getting out, so I find the taxi cab back to my hotel, because I got to get dressed, get packed, because we got to head to the airport. Now, because Meliana explained it, they put a little electronic chip that you tie to your shoelaces, and so they know your number and can track you. But what that chip can do is that chip, if you have that person's number, you can also track that person where they are during the race. Are you hearing me? So I jump in the shower and I'm kind of worried, because I'm worried if Meliana is going to make it. Because we got to be at the airport, you know. We got to be at the airport, you know. And so I got in the shower and I changed and started packing. And so then I checked where she was, and she had about 2 or 3 miles to go yet. And I'm praying really hard, because honestly, she ran that last 3 miles faster than I did. I will tell you that. And so literally the biggest miracle that particular day is that she got to the hotel in 15 minutes. She took a shower, put her makeup on, and packed, and we got to the airport on time. That was the marathon right there. Praise Jesus. And so I'm so thankful for that. But tonight, I want to talk to you about something that God laid on my heart, something that I want you to get, that we understand tonight, simply because sometimes we find ourselves in storms that we did not create. Everybody say warning. I believe that God's voice warns. But He warns because He wants to protect people. He doesn't want anybody to lose anything. He doesn't want loss of life, loss of property, loss of income. God is not like that. The devil wants you to lose. Come on. And even when it comes to people who don't even know God, God is not in them suffering. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to turn to Acts 27, because in Acts 27, there's a very familiar story that I want to unpack tonight. But let me lay a foundation of where I'm going. Luke, who has written the book of Acts, he has spent a lot of time talking to us in the previous chapters about Saul's trial before the Roman government. During that time, the Jews made all kind of accusations about him. They attempted to kill him. However, Paul felt that he had to appeal to Rome, or actually appeal to Caesar, excuse me. He had to appeal to Caesar. At that moment, the governor then said, "Caesar, you will go." And that leaves us to this particular passage of Scripture here in verse 9 of Acts 27 that I want to break down and I want to share with you, because I want to talk about how to navigate through the storm. How many have ever been in a storm before? How many know our nation's in a storm right now? And how many know that we should be the one in charge, not the storm? Not the storm shouldn't dictate policy. It is the word that God placed on the inside of us should dictate policy. I want you to see this, because this is very key that I want you to understand. So here's Paul. He's a prisoner, but he is sort of not really like your typical prisoner, because they all know who he is. They all know that he's innocent. Yet this is what it says. Verse 9. "Now, when much time had been spent, sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them." Everybody say, "Paul advised them." Now, what Paul was doing is Paul was prophesying. What Paul was doing was he was not prophesying to the church. He was prophesying to these men. He was prophesying to the world. So he's going to use his language a little bit different, ladies and gentlemen. He's not going to say Pentecostal language. He's not going to use charismatic terms. He is going to advise them. So notice the language that he does. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this nation and people that don't even know God need a word. Come on. They need a word from God. Now notice what he says. "Saying, men, I perceive." Say, "I perceive." Notice what he says. He didn't say, "Man, thus saith the Lord." He doesn't use that language. He actually says, "I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of cargo and ship, but also of lives." So you hear the heart of God, ladies and gentlemen, that here Paul is warning people that don't even serve God. These people were polytheists. They believed in multi-gods. And they did not serve Jesus. Only him and Luke were the only ones aboard the ship that was born again. And then Paul gets up and says, "You know what? If we go on this ship, guess what's going to happen? We're going to lose our cargo. We're going to lose our ship, and we could possibly lose our lives." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like an encouraging word. Come on. That sounds like a warning. Now, let me just say this to you. At that moment, those people knew his reputation. They knew who Paul was. They knew that he was a man of God, and they have to make a choice. Which voice are they going to listen to? Ladies and gentlemen, right now, in the middle of a storm, we have to choose which voice we are going to pay attention to. Because the Apostle Paul is not saying it just to exercise his own authority. Where's the heart of God? See, God doesn't even want the unsaved to lose their life. Come on. God doesn't want the unsaved to lose their house or their property or their cargo. God wants to protect even the city of Kansas City and cities across the nation. Come on. So at that point, Paul then gives this warning to these men. But you got to see this. You got to see this. "Nevertheless," this is the next verse, verse 11. Everybody say, "Nevertheless." When I hear that word, "Nevertheless," now I realize that they do not place value on what Paul said. They don't place value on the prophetic warning. Why? Because they're more concerned about getting a paycheck. Because if they deliver their cargo to this desired destination, they get paid. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, I care more about the voice of God than I do a paycheck. Because the voice of God is there to protect me from the storm. So now it says, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the things spoken by Paul. So now, notice this, verse 12. I'm going to camp out here. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised them to set sail from there also. Everybody say, majority. Now, when I read this story, this is what sticks out to me. It isn't the voice of God that is dictating policy. It's the majority that is dictating policy. So where in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, was the majority right? There's nowhere in the Bible that the majority was ever right. So that means that the majority trumped the voice of God. So that means the majority was making the choice and God's voice was not heeded. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we are not called to listen to the majority. Come on. Because the majority doesn't see the storm. The majority doesn't have a prophetic vision. The majority is thinking about what is in it for me. Come on. The majority is thinking about its paycheck, its cargo. When God is thinking about life, oh, come on. God is thinking about life. Here God is trying to keep an entire ship with all the sailors and all the people on that ship and saying, listen, don't go on there. It doesn't mean that we're going to go on there later. Just don't go on there now because this and this is going to happen. Come on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many know if you were the Apostle Paul and you were Luke and the majority and you got a prophetic vision, a prophetic warning that we're going to enter a storm, how many know that that's not the ship I'm going to go on? Right? I'm not going to board that ship. Because I know what kind of man Paul was. Paul had enough resources. He could have called on the church. He could have paid off the captain and the centurion. And he could have said, you know what? I'm going to board another ship later on. But I'm not going on that ship. That's the last ship that I'm going to go on. Because I know what's going to happen to that ship. Now, ladies and gentlemen, but the amazing thing about this story is that Paul goes on board a ship that's destined for destruction. Church, do you realize something? That we live in a day and age when people are looking to get off the ship. And I have a word for this church. Stay on the ship. Because, see, here's the thing. I may be surrounded by disobedience. Come on. I may be surrounded by people who care less what God thinks. Come on. I'm in this country. I live in America. I'm staying in America. Come on. I'm on this ship. I don't like what's going on the ship. I don't like the disobedience. I don't like the fact that they don't listen to the voice of God. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay on the ship. Because this is what happens. Anytime there's some kind of roughness, anytime there's some kind of storm, anytime there's some kind of problem in our culture, this is exactly what we do. When our relationships with our spouses get rough, we get a new one. Oh, come on. When it gets rough in the church, we go to another church. When it gets rough at job, when there's a storm on the job, guess what we do? We leave that job. But we don't realize that could it be that God wants to do something in the middle of the storm and wants to use us in the middle of the storm to bring life to every person on that ship? And could it be that if we don't get on board that ship, those people's lives are at stake? Oh, come on. This is why I am not leaving my post. I am not leaving where God has called me to be. Because even though I do not like it, come on, I do not like what's going on. I do not like the lies. I do not like the deception. I do not like the greed. I do not like the sin. But I'm aboard this ship. And guess what? I'm going to influence everybody on the ship. Even though I see a storm coming, I'm still on the ship because I know something. God's already prophesied. I'm getting you to your destination. Are you hearing me? God had already told him, you're going to Rome. And you know what? That means that you might go to Rome in a storm. You might go to Rome in a roller coaster. Come on. God already told you you go to heaven. Come on. It might be a roller coaster. But it's not. But let me just tell you, you're going to get there if you stay on the ship. This is why I believe in faithfulness. This is why I believe that when God calls you to a church, God calls you to a ministry, God calls you somewhere, it doesn't matter how rough it is or what kind of chaotic craziness is around you, I stay on the ship. Everybody say, stay on the ship.
Stay on the ship.
Now, at that moment, you know, I'll be married 36 years in December. I'm so glad I stayed on the ship. I got the best wife, and I got a great compliment from our friend Sarah, because we actually did their wedding over 2 years ago in Hawaii, where they got married. They had a beautiful wedding, and I know JC got to do a wedding, and Pastor J in Hawaii, you know how fun that is. Come on. And but they were telling me, we wanted you guys to marry because you guys have been married a long time, and we want to stay married. And I can tell you something. Sometimes there's a storm. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's hard. But this is the ship that God has called me to go. Even when I see disobedience, I'm still going to stay on the ship. I can imagine Luke saying, Paul, I don't want to go. Come on. I mean, because Luke didn't hear God. It was Paul who heard from God, and Luke was his companion. It's one thing that you heard from God, but I didn't hear it from you. Come on. What I heard is you say that this voyage, this journey is going to end in disaster. I don't want to board a ship that's destined for disaster. Who in their right mind would get on an airplane if you knew it was going to crash? Come on. That's basically is what's happening. But Paul knew this is exactly what God called me to be for a purpose. That I know in part, I prophesy in part. I don't know the whole picture, but this is the ship God called me to be on. It's called America. Come on. Do I like even what my denomination does sometimes? No. Do I disagree with some of their beliefs about COVID-19? No. But I'm staying on the ship. Come on. Do I agree with every leader? No. But I'm staying on the ship. Do I agree with the newscaster? But I'm staying on the ship. And guess what I'm going to have? At the end of the day, God's going to give me a blessing for being faithful. Well, now hear this. Because they board the ship, and guess what happens? Verse 13. It said, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, which means it looked like this is the perfect time, because guess what? The waves got a little mellow, the soft, the water got glassy, and it wasn't as rough, and it looked like this was our moment to move out, which means to tell me, I don't move on opportunity, I move on his voice.
Amen.
Because not every opportunity that comes your way is the Lord. It may look in the natural that this is the perfect time to make a move. This is the perfect time to buy. This is the perfect time to sell. This is the perfect time. Rather than understand, if you don't hear his voice, don't move. Come on. So supposing they obtain their desire, they set sail for Crete. Now here's what happens. But not long after that, a tempestuous wind arose. And so when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. So not long after they set sail, they went right into a storm. Everybody say, let drive. So guess what's happening? No longer are those sailors driving the ship. Now the storm is driving the ship. Now I can tell you this right now. I don't want COVID-19 to drive my ship. I don't want violence to drive my ship. I don't want anybody to drive my ship but God's voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if God's voice, see, God is not going to drive me. He's going to lead me. And if God has got the steering wheel, guess what? I'm going to get to my destination. But because of disobedience, ladies and gentlemen, they are now driven by a storm. And when I see people constantly in a storm after storm after storm after storm, I realize that they're not driven by the voice of God. They are driven because they've been disobedient. Now, at that moment, what happens is Luke begins to record a lot of things that happen. In fact, Luke goes into detail about what takes place during the storm. And they have now their cargo they got to get rid of. Now all their resources, they have to let it over because now their life is at stake. And guess what? They're in a storm for 2 weeks. You think about this for a moment. Why do human beings have to wait for a storm before they listen? Why do we have to wait for a crisis before we pay attention to the voice of God? I don't know what it's going to take for America to wake up. Because if they haven't waked up yet, then what happens if there's another storm? What happens, ladies and gentlemen, when there's a bigger storm? If this is just a small wave, what happens when the big one comes? Come on. What if this doesn't wake us up, what else is going to wake us up? I thought 9/11 would wake up the country. Come on. I remember exactly where I was. I remember where I was in California at that time. But notice this in verse 21. It says, but after a long absence from food, which means there was a forced fast, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Because let me ask you something personal. How many have had a personal storm and you lost your appetite? Yeah. You didn't feel like eating. Yeah. Food was the last thing on your mind. Could have been a family member. Could have been something that you were dealing with personally where food had no, you had no hunger for food. Because guess what? Life was more important than food. That's where it is. Because Paul is not in panic mode. Everybody on that ship is thinking they're going to die, except the apostle. I'm so glad that God put a man of God on that ship. Because if you're going to go on a ship, make sure you have somebody on your ship that hears from heaven. Come on. Make sure you have somebody that hears the voice of God if you find yourself in the middle of the storm. And Paul stands up and said, hey, you guys, you should have listened to me way back 2 weeks ago when I told you not to sail. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I want to listen to God before the storm. I want to heed the voice of the Lord before the storm ever hits. That way I'm prepared. But however, now they're ready to listen. Now they're ready to listen to Paul because Paul is not on the boat panicking. Paul is not worried. Paul knows that God's going to take care of him. And Paul knows something that they do not know. Listen to what he says here. Now, I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only the ship. Listen, guys, you're going to lose the ship. You've already lost all your cargo, but you're not going to lose your life. How many know they're ready to listen? Yeah. This phrase. He says, you know why you're not going to lose their life? Because this is what he said. For there stood by me this night. Who's standing by you? Who's standing by you? I remember when Miliana was telling the story tonight that as she was going down the path, there was a worker on the side of the path. Come on. I look, when I stay where God calls me, there's an angel standing by me. Come on, to keep me on the path that God has for me. There, who's standing by you in the middle of the storm? For the rest of those sailors, that captain and that centurion and the owner of the ship, there's nobody standing by them. Oh, come on. But there is one man who's standing by the church. I believe that somebody is standing by the church and somebody is standing by Pebble Creek. Let me tell you something right now. They're standing by him. An angel stood by me this night. And listen to this. Of the God whom I serve, whom I belong, saying, this is why I love this, do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Well, I know that angel. I already was told that word. But listen to this. God adds this. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So guess what? He stays on the ship. And God gives Paul another prophetic word. Because you went on the ship, I'm going to give you everybody on the ship. It's like saying, since you're still here in Kansas City, I'm going to give you everybody in Kansas City. Are you hearing me? If you still worked on that job that was very, very difficult to go to work tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you everybody on that job. You're living in a family that's not serving God. It's like saying, I'm going to give you everybody in your household that's going to serve God. You know that spouse that is not hungry for God? I'm going to give you all your entire spouse is going to get saved because you stayed in the marriage. Come on. That's what God throws in. Because he had no clue. He thought, oh, I'm just on the board of a ship that bunch of disobedient people. Not knowing by staying on the ship, God was going to save everybody on that ship and give it to the Apostle Paul. Give them. Now listen to this. Now, because there's a lot in this, this is exactly what happens. The ship gets broken, gets shattered. Even now they're listening to Paul. There were some people that were trying to throw the prisoners overboard. And the centurion said, no, we got to listen to the man of God. Listen to his track record. Now Paul's in charge because he's carrying an anointing to save everybody on that ship. That's why I believe the church is the answer to America. The church is the answer to every storm. The church is the answer that has the answer to every storm that can ever happen in America. The church has the answer to abortion. The church has the answer to homosexuality. The church has the answer to the economy. The church has the answer politically. You know why? Because guess what? People that don't know God go from storm to storm to storm. You know what we do? We walk on water. Come on. We walk over the storm. We leap over the hill. Come on. We skip over the mountain. We do go down in the valley, but we come out of the valley. Come on. Now, at that moment, there was something that took place. And I want you to see this. At that moment, they crash. The ship crashes. And where do they land? In an island called Malta. That's where they land. Now, it's interesting. That's Acts 28. In Acts 28, this is exactly what happens. Paul goes from one storm. He comes out of the storm, and guess what he's doing? He immediately goes on land and gathers wood. I want you to hear me. Hear me what I'm going to tell you. Most people, when they've been in a storm for weeks or months or years, go from the storm to the psychiatrist or a counselor or into depression. The Apostle Paul goes from the storm into ministry. He does not let the storm stop his servant attitude. And here's the thing. No matter what storm happens in life, it shouldn't stop whether we're going to serve God and serve other people or not. Because every one of us have storms. Come on. Every one of us. There's life. There's death. There's loss. There's gain. There's all those things that happen in life. But it should never stop us from serving God and serving other people. Which means the storm isn't telling me how to act. Come on. That here I come. Here I am. I've been in this storm for 2 weeks. I've barely eaten any food, but I'm walking out of shore and I'm going to go right to serving other people. That's what he did, because the Bible says he gathered wood. He gathered wood for the fire. Which means that he was more concerned about the sailors and those that had been in the storm to get well, to get warm, to get heated, to feel better than he was his own life. In church, a lot of people I know be in ministry. Brother Harkey, I want to prophesy. I want to preach. I want to do things. No, you need to learn how to gather wood. Come on. Because I want to tell you something. Sometimes ministry isn't about what happens on the pulpit. It's about serving in the middle of your storm. Because let me just tell you, Meliana and I have had storms in our marriage. We've had storms in our family. We've had storms in our finances. But guess what? When it came time to serve God, the storm doesn't matter anymore. What matters is serving God and feeding God's people. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? And you're not a hypocrite. If you go from a storm to service, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're a hypocrite because you had a fight on the way to church. Let me just tell you something. Everybody fights. Everybody has a storm. But the storm doesn't give me my identity. Oh, come on. And here's what happens. He's serving. He's now serving. And over the years, this word has stuck with me, but I'm going somewhere because I need to tell you a truth. So as he's serving, the serpent jumps out of the fire and latches onto his hand and bites him. And it's not just any kind of serpent, it's a poisonous snake. Now, church, at that moment, I'd be thinking, God, I'm done. First of all, I warned these folks, and they didn't listen to you. Then I had to go on the ship with a bunch of sinners. Come on. Then the storm happened as I prophesied. Come on. We've lost everything. We've lost our cargo. We've lost the ship. We haven't eaten for 2 weeks. I then go on shore to serve these people, and now you let me get bit by a snake. I'm done. Come on. I'm done. Is this what I get for serving you? It happens all the time. And not just any snake. He gets bit by a poisonous snake. And sometimes the biggest poison is not what you think. It's criticism. It's criticism when you've done the right thing. You know, I'm going to just be... First of all, I want to tell you the most political statement you could make is say Jesus is Lord right now. That's the political statement. I've been accused of being political. I'm not being political. I'm being truthful. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over the United States. Come on. He's Lord over the Supreme Court is not the Supreme. I don't care what the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can say homosexuality is right. It doesn't make it right. The Supreme Court can say that abortion is legal. It doesn't make abortion right. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? So when the country says, oh, but the Supreme Court said, the Supreme Court is not the Supreme Court. There's a Supreme Court. It's up in heaven. Come on, are you hearing me? And his name is Father God. His name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. Come on, that is the Supreme Court. Are you hearing me? He is supreme over all men. I don't care what court says what. I don't care the CDC. They are not supreme. It is God Almighty, who is the supreme. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at that moment, you know what? I mean, we can get hit. Let me just tell you right now, we can get poisoned by a political spirit. We can get poisoned by what we see on the news. We get poisoned based, I mean, you watch Meliana's Facebook enough, come on. You know what, she gets these nasty inboxes, I can tell you, all the time, because she's a troublemaker. She causes trouble, you know what? I get calls all the time, can you tell your wife to take off some of the stuff she puts on? You're being too political. I tell them, no. I tell them, you know what? You need to shake it off. Come on. Are you hearing me? You know, and so, but you guys got influence, and you got thousands of people around the country that you influence, and you're telling them, don't wear a mask. We never said that. I just said, honey, take a picture of me, and I did, because I want to show you how to put your mask on, so I just put it over my glasses. You know, she took a picture of it, you know, because that way I couldn't see. Come on. I couldn't see what's going on. I just have to follow the Spirit. But no, I want people to be protected. Please hear me. I'm not trying to, those that would feel like they should, I don't ever want to put anybody down. We don't want to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in the midst of our serving God, we get bit. And it's not, we get bit by criticism. And criticism can turn and be very poisonous if we allow it to get into our heart. It can actually destroy especially when it's somebody close to you that you have a relationship with or a long-term relationship. Because over the last 3 months, we have had some discussions with people in long-term relationships with us that didn't agree with us. But listen, we agree with them. And you know what? We're not trying to who's right, who's wrong. But I am not going to let the poison, come on, the poison or the defilement stop me from serving God. Because ladies and gentlemen, he gets bit. And why he gets bit, he gets criticized. Because the people, the islanders of Malta say, hey, dude, you must be a murderer. Paul was a murderer. He's an apostle. He's a man of God. But what does Paul do? He shakes it off, right? Throws it in the fire. So as he throws it and just keeps serving, because this is what I found out. You get criticized, don't fall into the trap and start trying to defend yourself when you're criticized. Amen. Keep serving God in the middle of the criticism and watch God vindicate you. Because I've seen it time and time again. They were sitting there, Meliana, waiting for Paul to swell up. Yeah. Meliana read something to me today on the way to church this morning. She put something up that a person didn't like, and they sent her a private message. And she said, what do I do? Should I respond? I said, no. Because you know what happened? They got swelled up. And when you get swelled up, when you get messed up, when you get hurt, you say things you shouldn't say. And so if they're hurt and you try to bring correction, it's only going to fuel the poison that's inside them. So there comes a time when you just got to ignore it and just do what God called you to do and keep gathering wood on the fire and keep serving others and keep doing what God called you to do. And that's exactly what Paul did, because they're sitting around waiting him to swell up. Now, ladies, you got to hear this. So now, that I don't know how long they waited, but they waited for enough time. Well, Paul doesn't swell up. Paul has never swelled up. He went to jail. He never swelled up. They arrested him. He never swelled up. They beat him. They never swelled up. They abused him. He never swelled up. They threw him in jail. He never swelled up. They beat him up. He never swelled up. Why? Because there was somebody else he was looking towards. Come on. And at that moment, when he doesn't swell up, because they knew how poisonous, they knew the serpent's reputation, they now think he's a god. So now they change their mind about him. Let me just tell you, I believe there's a key in that story that I want to highlight. When I don't get angry and swell up, I have influence. And now he has influence with the governor of that island. Because now they take him to him and say, this is the guy that didn't swell up when we saw the poisonous snake. There must be something supernatural about him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you probably don't know this. Malta is an island nation in the Mediterranean Sea, south of Italy, south of Sicily. In the middle of the Mediterranean. And I want to say something to you. When the Apostle Paul was part of the EU, Malta, it's a nation, about 400,000 people. When Paul went to the governor and they began to talk about how amazing this man was, this is exactly what took place. Paul looks over and there's a relative that is very, very sick. Paul goes over and lays his hand on that man. And God miraculously heals that man. And the Bible says that the islanders brought all, everybody say all their sick to the apostle, and God healed them all. So that means that everybody, that means that there was no sickness on that island. Come on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can look this up. You can find this out. This is true. Every February 10th, on the island of Malta, the nation has a national celebration. In fact, it is the biggest celebration in that country. And the celebration is this. They celebrate Paul's shipwreck. They actually have a national holiday called the Apostle Paul's shipwreck. You can look it up every February 10th. One of these years, when I'm able to fly back and forth to Europe again, because we're not going to Europe this year, because tomorrow, originally, I was supposed to be in Kenya tomorrow. Come on. I was supposed to fly out of Kansas City all the way to Nairobi to do a crusade, but that got canceled. And then I was to go to Europe, but that all got canceled this summer. Now, I want to tell you this, but right now, you can Google it. You can look it up on the internet. Every February 10th, they've been doing it for hundreds of years. They've actually been celebrating Paul's shipwreck. Why? Because when Paul, what was a shipwreck turned into a salvation for an entire island, and an entire island got healed. What does that speak to us? Listen, church, the God that we serve takes our shipwreck life, come on, and turns it into a celebration. That's why, let me just tell you, God's going to take this shipwreck, come on, and turn it into a celebration. God's going to take our loss and turn it to, you think you lost your business, you think you lost your contracts, you think that things aren't going to make it. Let me just tell you, the God that I serve, because you stayed on the ship, not only am I going to give you everybody on the ship, I'm going to give you everybody on that island, come on. Not only am I going to give you all those sailors, everybody on that island is going to be blessed by you. And the gospel is going to go forth on that island. And then they're going to celebrate you landing there. Yeah. Right. My goodness, who could do that? Right. See, that's why we cannot look at every storm as being negative. Yeah. Every storm as being a loss. Oh, I lost my cargo. Oh, I lost my ship. Oh, I got upset. That's why I don't want to make a decision based on the storm, because it isn't the storm that's my future. It's God celebrating what he can do with a storm would look like the worst thing that could ever happen, turning the salvation of an island. How many believe that God can take America? God can take our country. Yes. when it looks like it's shipwrecked. Politically, morally, when it looks like it's over. And God can turn it into a celebration. Well, look at those people. Look at those people in June. What's today, the 29th? 28th? 28th? Yeah, 29th, I was supposed to fly to Kenya. 28th of June, 2020, with political unrest, with crazy things going on that we never thought, with people wanting to defund the police, with lawlessness and evil and disease and all these things, and yet in the middle of the ship are these people that hear the voice of God. Who are not in panic mode. Who are not in fear mode. Who are not a fear mongers. Who know that I'm staying on the ship because God is going to give me everybody. And then when I land on that island is going to come alive. Come on. And God, because God, you know, the angel never prophesied to Paul what he was going to give him about the island. Never told him that. But aren't you thankful he stayed on the ship? Could it be that God, or take our shipwreck and give us nations?
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Because I can look at this. Because honestly, I'll just be honest with you. There were some times, especially in the month of April, I felt, oh God, my shipwreck. Ministry is being shipwrecked. But I knew something. Remember, John. Remember what happened to Malta. Remember what they're still celebrating. Could it be that your kids and your their kids later on in generations, should the Lord tarry, that guess what? They're going to celebrate your shipwreck. Because if you weren't shipwrecked, the gospel, the word, the prophecy, the healing, the miracle wouldn't happen. But your shipwreck actually brought you here. Could it be that your shipwreck brought you to Pebble Creek? Come on. Your shipwreck brought you to the altar. Your shipwreck brought you to your knees. Come on. Your shipwreck, they actually turned into your salvation. Come on. And to your healing. See, that's the God I serve. The whole island's healed. The whole island's born again. They're having revival. And they're not there for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're there for a few months. I think 3 months if I'm not correct. Someone could correct me, but it's about 3 months. Here they had lost. They barely were clothed. They lost their money. They lost their cargo. They lost their ship. So now Paul not only has all the sailors and the captain and the whole island. Guess what? The islanders say, wait a minute. We got to do something for you. You lost your ship. We want to build you a brand new one. And not only do we want to build you a brand new ship, we want to fill it full of cargo. And we, when the weather gets better, we want to send you on your way so that you won't experience any loss. Now think about that. Now the islanders bless Paul and all the sailors so they can get to Italy. Now think about this. What would happen if Paul would have got bitter? What would have happened had he not stayed on the ship? What would have happened to that island? I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to stay on the ship. I don't like it, but I'm going to stay on it. Because I'm not asking for God for just Kansas City. I want America. I want the nations of the earth. I want Lithuania. I want the Philippines. I want where I go on mission trips overseas. I wanted Nairobi. They had this crusade. They paid the ticket and everything from Kansas City all the way to Nairobi to Amarillo, Texas, believe it or not. here's what happens. I'm going to stay on this ship. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to give me everybody. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, we love you. We honor you. We adore you. I feel your presence and your power in this room right now. And tonight, you are going to heal bodies. Because you spoke to me in prayer that you were going to do miracles for your sons and your daughters that came here tonight. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you heal every single person within the sound of my voice right now. I thank you that there are people who are still in this church. That they're still in this ship. They didn't have to come back tonight. They didn't have to attend the service tonight. But because they wanted to be under the saturation of your word, I pray that what they come out with tonight, they take away, that they would stay on the ship, that they would believe that you're going to turn what was a shipwreck into a celebration. Because you're a God that works everything for good for those who are called of God and called according to his purpose. You turn everything for good. Everything is everything. And it may not look good in our natural eyes, but at the end of the day, at the end of the hour, we may not be aware, but millions, if not hundreds of thousands of people will be celebrating because we landed right here in Kansas City and brought the word and brought healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now give God a shout of praise in the house tonight. Young lady, right in the middle, black shirt, would you please stand up and just stand there in the front? I want you to just lift your hands to Jesus. I want you to just, and maybe a couple of your little friends could come around you, put their hands on their shoulder. They really, oh, that's more than a couple. They all love you. You must be popular. I'm going to prophesy something to you. I'm going to prophesy this to you because this is what I saw. God's going to send you on a ship. A mercy ship. I'm going to prophesy this. God's going to send you to Europe. Because in Europe, especially Western Europe, God is not in the thoughts of the culture. But the way you are and the way God's wired you is you are not afraid of anything. And God is going to put you around with people that are completely disobedient. But they're not going to influence you. You are going to influence them. Because God has poured so much of his spirit and his heart on the inside of you. And I'm just going to say this to you. God says this. You're going to be a missionary to nations like Belgium, France, Luxembourg, Holland, Germany, there in Central Europe, and you're going to go there and you are going to be very much involved in the promotion and the proclamation of the gospel. And you are going to go places you never thought you would see. God is going to give you an understanding heart to even argue with those who are atheists, who don't believe in God. But you are going to bring the light of God's presence right in front of them and show them that God is real. Because there's in this season of your life, you've been doing a lot of thinking, oh God, what's my purpose? Where am I going? Where am I taking? And the Lord says you are an Esther in your generation. And the Lord says that you are not called to be silent at this hour. Because something hit me a few months ago where most people, when they preach, they talk about Esther being raised at such a time as this. Wonderful message. But the phrase before that in Esther 4:14, it says, Esther, if you remain silent. And I heard the Lord say, you cannot afford to be quiet. Because your voice is going to go to the nations, and your voice is going to be heard, and your voice is going to save people, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want everybody to stand all over the room right now. How many want to see God turn your shipwreck into a celebration? Come on. How many want to see that? I know this. Can I say this? God is going to turn all the meetings that we got canceled into a blessing. I know that. I know that. God is going to turn everything that looked for bad, because I serve the Lord for His good, come on, and His glory. And I believe that with all my heart. How many appreciate Sister Karen and Pastor Dennis? Come on. How many appreciate them so much? Can I brag on this church just a little bit before I speak over them? Usually, you know, in my experience, when someone has been pastoring a church for a long time and they retire or go into another direction, they actually leave the church. They don't stay. And the reason they don't stay is because, you know, they want to, you know, give the opportunity to the new pastor coming up, and they don't want to get in the way of that person's leadership. And usually, if the previous pastor stays, it's not necessarily healthy in the normal circumstances, which tells me this is not a normal church, which that's the good thing. But what this does tell me is that the leadership is so secure, so non-combative, so family-oriented, that we want to empower one another, that you guys can stay here. JC and Angie can become the senior leaders, and we can serve as well, and we all can help each other build the kingdom. You do not see that anywhere in the country. This is an anomaly. Come on. You know why? You know why? It tells me something about their hearts. It tells me about their hearts. That they can sit here, serve in the capacity where they're at right now, and step back from where they were, and they can let Angie and JC do what God called them and not interfere. You know what that tells me? Great leadership. That's exactly what that tells me. Because if you're an insecure leader, and you see somebody that you have recommended do something they shouldn't do, come on, you want to step in and take over, which tells me that's not even their heart. You do not see that, ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in the country. And we go to hundreds of places all over the country, preach over 300 times a year, and guess what? We do not see that. That is a testament of the health of this church. Come on, give yourself a hand. I'm bragging on the church. I'm telling you. Because that tells me that no matter if there's a storm, we're not going to get involved. We're staying on the ship. Come on. We're staying on the ship. We're not leaving ship because we took a different position and we're staying on the ship. Come on. And we're gonna serve in a lesser role, which tells me it tells me there's no pride. There's no arrogance. There's absolute humility. And I love that. And I love that. And you know why we love you? I mean, we love Beverly a lot. Come on. We want to take Beverly wherever we go, because she's a riot, you know. She'll cause a riot. Come on. She'd probably end the riot, really. You just don't mess with Beverly, you know. But what I've witnessed the last few years is your tenderness before the Lord. Yes. And your humility. Yes. And although in the natural, oh God, we wish we had thousands of people. But let me just tell you, there's a quality in this house. There's a quality in this house because there's quality people in the house. So sometimes we make a big deal about numbers rather than make a big deal about quality. How many know Rolls Royce is one of the best cars you could buy, right? They don't make a lot of them. You know why? And honestly, in the spirit, I see this church as a Rolls Royce. In the spirit. You know what I'm saying? A Rolls Royce. Where it's been handcrafted, it's been made, and it is the best of the best. Because you know what? We go to the prayer room, but if I lived here, I'd go here. You know why? Because of you. Because the way you guys are, and your fellowship, and your love, and your hunger for the prophetic, and your hunger for the word. I mean, here you are in the middle of a pandemic. Well, it's a plandemic. I'm sorry. I put that movie up and they took it off. Come on. And what's up, Pat? What's up with that? And so I just want you to stretch forth your hands to Pastor Karen and Pastor Dennis. Meliana, would you come over? And Father, first of all, I'm honored by them. I'm honored by their attitude. I'm honored by their heart. I'm honored to know them, oh God, and so appreciated the years of conversation we've had and even some of the different views. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Pastor Dennis never lost his opinion all these years, that he always tells me what's on his mind. Come on. I'm so thankful that there's no pretense. There's no show. He's real. These are real people. And I heard the Lord say this over you. Because you're authentic, I will never let this congregation get deceived. I will never let this people get deceived. I will never let them get duped by a lie. Because you have sown seeds of authenticity in this foundation. And even in the hearts of the people that you've influenced. And even though you may see things, you don't use your old influence. The influence that you had as the senior leader. You allow the other leadership to make choices. And you just sit back and just serve and just gather wood. Like the Apostle Paul. And I heard the Lord say that there's going to be a day when God's going to call upon you to help churches, who help places that really have a very toxic environment and unhealthy churches that their leadership is unhealthy. But Pastor Dennis, you're going to actually go there. And the words that are on your mouth and the wisdom that you carry, it's not an opinion. I want you to understand, it's not your opinion. It's the voice of the Lord. And see, that's what the unsaved thought the Apostle Paul said, that he was sharing his opinion and they didn't see it as the voice of the Lord. And then God wants me to tell you that God is going to give you influence in these coming days with ministers who are on the verge of shutting their doors, on the verge of getting out of the ministry. But you're going to come there and you're going to actually unlock some of the things. Because it actually is what I saw a picture is there was actually things in the closet that need to be cleaned out. And God's going to use you to clean out the closet for them and bring clarity and bring truth and bring the reality and bring transformation to churches so that they don't close down. And the Lord says that he's even going to give you insights to give leaders and pastors exit strategies for their own success in raising up another generation and how they need to navigate through that. And Pastor Karen, I just heard the voice of the Lord say, you have not lost your worship. And you will never lose your worship. And the Lord wants me to tell you that wherever you go, you bring an atmosphere. You bring an atmosphere. And the Lord says that you're going to be, I see you guys, I see you guys going in a kind of a 2-hour radius east of here towards St. Louis, and just touching small communities and small AG churches that really need a fresh word, need a fresh vision, need a fresh calling. And Karen, I want you to know, because you have a great discernment, and when you walk into a place, you can actually sense the atmosphere. But the Lord says, daughter, do not give in to the atmospheres there. Remember that the sound that is in you, the sound that is in you is a royal sound. It is a sound of royalty. And that royalty demands respect. And the Lord says that I'm going to give you the ability to remove the strongholds in the spirit realm that keeps the word from going forth in power. And the Lord says that you're actually going to be one that through the very tenderness of your speech, the very words that you say, you're going to be able to correct people when they think that they're being encouraged. You're actually going to be correcting them. That you're going to begin to adjust them. It's like a chiropractor going in when someone's back is out of alignment. And the Lord says that you are going to put people back into alignment in this season of your life spiritually. Because you have a vision, you see what's out of order. And many times you don't say anything, but you won't have to say anything. You will just open your mouth, you will begin to sing, and you will begin to praise, and all of a sudden, order will come into the house. It is like when the judge comes into the courtroom, and when the judge comes in, everybody stands up. The Lord says you carry that kind of authority and that kind of grace upon you. And the Lord says, my son, I'm going to give you a revelation of the book of Hebrews at this hour. And actually, I just kept hearing Hebrews 2:1, which talks about so great of a salvation, but it talks about that we would listen and that we would heed the word that was spoken to us so that we would not drift away. And the Lord says, the reason why pastors and leaders are drifting is they've lost their anchor. And my son and my daughter, I am going to use you to give them back their anchor so that they don't drift off into some place where they don't need to go, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. I'd like the praise team to come up. And before as Sean's coming up, I want to speak over our piano player. I forgot her name. Sandy. Sandy, we love you. Would your husband come up here too? We love your husband too. They're here. I don't think I've been here where they have not been here every single service. Give God a shout of praise right now. Talk about staying on the ship. These two have stayed on the ship. Why don't you stretch forth your hands to them right now. God says this. Would it be all right for me to put my hand on your hand? God says this to you guys. Thank you for rescuing my people from the storm. Thank you for going out of your way and picking up others when they were about to quit on God. Thank you for being there year after year after year and day after day after day. And I heard the Lord say, my son, because of your hunger for the word, and it isn't just that you read it, you eat it, you digest it, you meditate on it. And the Lord says this to you, I'm putting an anointing on you where in this season of your life, the prophetic word gives us permission to warn, even in the New Testament. And there is going to be people that you care about, that because of your knowledge of the word and your sensitivity to the spirit, just as Paul warned the people on that ship, you are going to be warning them, not because you want the ship to sink. It's because you love everybody on the ship. And people are going to feel that coming out of your bones and out of the pores of your skin, that just like Jeremiah, the prophet, who warned with tears in his eyes, there is a tenderness. There's the tenderness of the shepherd and the rawness and the rashness of the prophet on the inside of you, son. And your wife has been encouraging you for years. She has invested in you. She has poured in you. She has spoken over you. She has prayed over you. Because when you were younger, in your 20s, you were not like where you are now. But God has tempered you. God has poured in you great wisdom. And actually, I saw you were 55 years old. And I saw the Lord pour a 55-gallon drum of oil over you, saying, son, I'm going to use you in ways in your 70s and in your 80s that you never thought, and even into your 90s that you never thought that I would use, that you are going to be a pillar and everybody is going to listen to you because you carry my voice, and you will not allow storms or life to trump the promises that I've given you. You will not be influenced by those voices that say, no, we're going to do what I want. You are going to weep at the altar and weep in your prayer time, yet you're going to shout in their face with tears in your eyes and a fire in your heart, and they're going to know that you love them. And daughter, I heard this in the spirit. Even right now, God wants to tell you, there are people that you are going to call, because there are people that you are in communication with, because you are relational, that feel like they have no companionship. They have no one standing next to them. And the Lord says, you're going to stand next to those who feel lonely. And the Lord says that you are going to begin to heal people who feel like they're all by themselves, because you can see in the spirit. You can act because you are a feeler. The way that you hear God is that you feel. You very feel the heartbeat. You feel the pain. You feel the joy. You feel the dreams of others. And the Lord says, when I speak to you that way, that's when I want you to open your mouth and you say the words, I feel like. And I can tell you that God will put weight upon your words. I can easily prophesy about your piano playing and the anointing that's upon your hands. But God is prophesying about the anointing of how sensitive you are, even to others, and sensitive to his heart. And the Lord says that there are many sons and many daughters who are outside the will of God, but how you feel is how God feels about them. And when you express how God feels about them, it will turn their faces back to God, says the Lord. For even the prodigal sons and daughters are going to come home, says God. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want to tell you, folks, I want to give you a promise. I know this is a long prophecy, but the Lord says that all your life your eyes will see, and all your life your ears will hear. You will never lose your hearing. You will never lose your sight. You will never lose your step. You will never lose your fire. You will never lose your passion. I will keep you day after day, year after year, until I take you home, says the Lord. For you are my eagles at this hour, Father. Thank you. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise right now. Can we worship him? Can we worship him? Can we worship him? All over the room. All over the room. We bless you. We bless you, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. There's someone here in this room who has a problem with your right knee, your right knee. The Lord wants to heal you right now. Where are you? Give me a wave offering. If it's your right knee, give me a wave offering. Give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Could you stand up? I didn't see you. If you would be so kind and come to the center aisle. Congregation, I want you to turn and I want you to face him. And I want you to stretch forth your hands to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as Josh has his hand on the back of your shoulder, sir, the Spirit of God, God is igniting. There is a warmth coming on your right knee right now. I don't just see a strain. I see bone to bone. And what I see is God putting a new layer in between that bone and that bone. And what I see God doing is God performing a miracle as I speak right now. Because, son, I began to see a vision of you going up in a truck and down in a truck. But this particular truck was very high. It's as if you had to have a stepladder to get in there. And it's time where actually you landed on that knee and that knee buckled. And I heard the Lord say, I'm transforming that knee even right now by the Spirit. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. There's someone here. There is arthritis, especially in your left hand, in your left fingers, your index finger and your thumb. The Lord wants to heal you of that right now. Where are you? Let me see your hand. If that's you right there, let me see your hand. Hallelujah. That's fine. You can step right there, sir. Lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus. If I could get an usher to stand behind him, I greatly appreciate it. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, Father, right now, take this hand, take this pain right now, and give him full mobility right now by the power of the Spirit. Father, I pray right now, even as Nahum was dipped in the Jordan seven times and come out completely healed, that the water of your word and the water of your presence and the water of truth and the water of glory and the water of joy and the water of scripture and the water of liquid fire, that he would be immersed in that right now and come up completely whole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There it is. God is touching you right now by the Spirit. God's touching you right now. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Larry, would you and your wife, I didn't get to pray for you and your wife. I know you guys been serving. And I saw your wife in the back. How many appreciate Brother Larry? Come on, and his beautiful wife. They've been on the ship a long time, too. I want to pray for you guys. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I should have probably called you up, called you before you went up and got all connected. Stretch forth your hands to them. I just heard the Lord say, as soon as your wife came up, Larry, I heard the Lord say, here are two people that have shaked off everything. That nothing and no one could make them stumble because they know what they know. I'm going to say something to you. God is giving you more kids. God is giving you more kids to influence. More kids. In fact, this is crazy. But you're not done raising kids, both of you. You're not done parenting. Because you're not just pastors. You're mother and a father. Because the reality of our generation, and I will say this, the reason we have sons going into stores, burning down things, stealing things, is because we don't have fathers and we don't have mothers. We don't have parents. We have people that give birth to children, but we don't have parents. And I'm going to say something. God is going to call you to foster, and I'm not, what I mean by foster is not foster kids, that you're going to foster children that are not your own, and you're not asking for money, because your greatest joy is to see them become healthy on the inside. Because God has given you insights how to bring out the potential of those who are orphans in this generation. Orphans turn into terrorists. Sons and daughters turn into productive members of society. And God is going to cause you, even now, daughter, you're going to make some phone calls. You're going to begin to exercise a different approach, even to bringing more influence over the most vulnerable of this culture. Because you're going to find, they say that if we don't get them at 9, 10, and 11, it's too late. But because of your heart, you never say it's too late for God. That God is going to give you teenagers who seemingly do not want to go home because they've been abused. Their potential has not been promoted. In fact, they've been put down. They've been both physically and sexually abused. But I'm going to tell you something, daughter. Because you are a mother, and Larry, because you are a father, you're going to heal what psychology and counseling and education can't heal. The Lord says that I'm going to use you to heal a generation. And the Lord says that even right now, God is going to begin to open opportunities to come up in this next season in the fall. In September, October, November, it will be a season of productivity, says the Lord. That you will begin to have those. You will take some of the most troubled youth, the most troubled people, and you will bring a turnaround to them, and they'll be asking you how you did it. And all you will tell them, because they don't understand Proverbs, they don't understand Psalms, they don't understand songs, they don't speak that language, all you'll say is, we parented them. And God is going to give you the parenting skills, and then God is going to raise you up to teach people how to parent children, even the children that are difficult. Because, daughter, I can tell you this right now. Nobody can wear you out. You'll wear them out before they'll wear you out. There's so much resolve on the inside of you. Now, Larry gets a little flustered sometimes, but you do not wear out. And the Lord says, because you do not wear out, you're the one that's in charge. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him for a moment. Let's worship Him for a moment.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling me. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness has bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes. How many in this room says, I'm staying on the ship? I'm staying on the ship. When I see that, God's going to give me my family. God's going to give me the church. God's going to give me nations. How many want to see your shipwreck turn into a celebration? I don't think Sarah and Patrick would have minded me sharing this. But both of those two had shipwrecks. But guess what God did? God saved them, brought them together, and now God has turned their shipwreck into a celebration. And they are blessing the body of Christ. They support ministry. I mean, thousands of dollars they support ministry all over the country. And why? And they're only in their mid-30s. God's blessed them financially to where they can do whatever they want. And they buy houses, they sell houses, they own properties. Why? Because God took their shipwreck life and turned it into a celebration. And if God can use those two, God can use any one of us. If you're here tonight and you want God to turn the shipwreck into a celebration, just as Sean began to sing, oh, come to the altar, I want you on the count of three to run to this altar right now. One, two, three. Come forward right now. Come forward right now.
Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness has bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Like your shirt, brother. Break the chain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come up here, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to lift your hands to Jesus. How many love our brother? Come on, how many love our brother? I kept looking at him because he kept saying amen all night. When you're a public speaker, that's who you look at, the one that says amen. I heard the word of the Lord say, you don't look a day past 30 because God has given you a young heart. And because you have a youthful heart, even though you've experienced betrayal and loss, even of loved ones, your heart kept pounding and beating and living and believing. And the Lord has given you something, sir. It's called the supernatural gift of faith. And the Lord says that he is going to do one miracle after the other. And the Lord says, even the times, the Lord says that there is an anointing on you that when you walk up to somebody on the street who is actually addicted to alcohol and drugs, you will open your mouth and you will say to that mountain of addiction, be gone. And you will see people delivered based on your witness. The Lord says, because you are bold and not afraid to share your faith, I'm going to honor it with the miraculous. The Lord says that there is an evangelistic calling on your life. And that evangelistic calling on your life is to go out and not be afraid to witness on the streets about the goodness of God and the power of the cross. And although you know much, your people look at you, they don't realize how much of the word you know, how much of the scripture you know. You're like an encyclopedia when it comes to the Bible, because they look at you superficially, but there's a rich well inside of you. And the Lord says, it just as Jesus met the woman at the well, you're going to be meeting people at the well, and there's going to be the well of transformation, because there's a water in you, there's a word in you that washes off immorality, washes off addiction, washes off sin, because Jesus put that in you. And when you leave an area that was once defiled, that area that was once a trash heap, that area that was once a crack house, becomes a place, a sacred place, a place of worship, a place where God begins to move, because there's a redeeming anointing on your life, son. And just as Boaz redeemed Ruth, just as Boaz purchased Ruth and brought her back into her full inheritance, the Lord says that I've raised you up to redeem those who have been ostracized, who have been left out, who don't even speak English, who feel like they're lost and trapped here on the street. You will bring redemption to them, says the Lord, through my name. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There it is. God is touching you right now. Come on and give God a shout of praise now. Hallelujah. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Let's worship God.
What a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
We love you, Jesus.
Bow down before.
How many in this room need healing in your body? Need healing in your body? You need healing in your body. Raise your hand. You need healing in your body. Now here's what I want you to do. Those of you that need healing, put your hand on your chest right now. Last year I received probably the most powerful prophetic word in my life. And it wasn't by a well-known prophet. It was a lady in Oregon. And she had driven from Oregon all the way down the I-5 several hours to Bakersfield, California. to give me the word. We had been in Oregon. It was in sometime in the summer last year. I don't remember exactly the date. But we had been in Oregon in February. And her husband had cancer. Couldn't make it to the service. And she came up to me after the service, told me the situation. And I said to her, your husband's going to be healed of cancer tonight. And I really felt the unction of the Lord to say that. Well, she went back. And that night, God had healed her husband of cancer. And she drove those several hours, I don't know, 14 hours, something like that, to give me a word and to tell me the testimony. And the testimony, the word was this. She said, John Harkey, when you go to a church, you don't have to lay hands on people. They don't have to fall out. They don't have to manifest. All you have to do is speak to it. And just by speaking to the infirmity, God is going to put authority on your voice. And that when you speak, people are going to get healed. I didn't know that COVID-19 was going to happen. And maybe people might feel uncomfortable laying hands on the sick. And I know that biblically it tells us that we are to lay hands on the sick so they shall recover. But I also know that in Scripture, Jesus spoke the word and they were healed. Come on. He spoke the word and the servant was healed. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. So I understand there's power in my voice, power in my speech, power in what I say. So right now, for those of you that have your hand on your chest, every infirmity, I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command any lump in their body. I command any heart disease, diabetes. I command any stress, any emotional problem to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I command lupus to leave. I command melanoma to leave. I command every disease known to man to leave right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, release your power on every body, every person within the sound of my voice. And the sound of my voice. Father, Lord, right now, because I see a picture in my mind's eye prophetically, that there are those in this room right now that you're going from the ship of sickness to the ship of health.
Amen.
And the Lord, you are crossing over on that ship, and you're going on the passage of healing as I speak. Because Jesus is in that boat and he's rowing you to complete wholeness and health. He's getting you completely whole and healthy right now by the Spirit. Now, why do I believe that? I received a prophetic word and I believe that prophetic word.
Yes.
Now, I also say this. This morning, I made a mention that we have not been sick. I'm not saying that there hadn't been a little snivel here and there, but I have never been so sick that it knocked me out in over 30 years. Now, I know that God, I cannot take credit for it because I eat and I like to eat. I do take care of myself and drink about 10 bottles of water every day. That helps. But I will tell you this, it's the grace of God, but I also believe that it's what we agree with and what we disagree with, that what I get in agreement with, that I ain't get in agreement with, that I am not going to be sick, and if I even have any kind of symptoms where maybe a scratchy throat, a little runny nose, or a little cough, I simply don't become in agreement with that. I don't come in agreement with that. And I rebuke it on the inside. I don't say with my mouth, I don't feel good. I don't say that. I do not say that. I say, I feel good, God. I feel good. Thank you. I look in the mirror and I say, I'm healthy and I'm really rich in Christ. Come on. Because by his stripes, I've been healed. Come on. Forget not his benefit. He heals all my sickness and all my diseases. Now, that doesn't mean I don't wash my hands or wear a mask when the stewardess tells me I have to. But I want to tell you how I get away from not wearing a mask on the plane. I carry my water bottle. Because you can't drink and wear a mask at the same time. Wherever I go, I just carry my water bottle and nobody bothers me. Because for me, I can't breathe out of the thing. You know what? Because I'm a runner. So I breathe out the bad air and breathe in the good air. Come on. I'm not, and neither are you. I'm not breathing in a virus. I'm breathing in good air. Come on, are you hearing me? How many know there's good air in Kansas City? Come on. One thing about COVID-19, we haven't got that much car pollution. You know what? I was in LA at the beginning of May, and you could see the sky. Come on. That was good news. And all the sun was out. Sky was blue for the first time. And LAX was not busy. You can always find something good about things. Put your hand on your heart. I want you to say this after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Tonight.
Tonight.
As I stand here. In this room.
In this room.
Healed.
Heal.
And whole.
And whole.
Saved. And set free.
And set free.
Right now, God.
Right now, God.
I prophesy that you will take every one of my storms and turn it into a celebration.
A salvation.
A miracle.
A blessing.
Not only for me, but for so many other people, for generations to come. Just like what you did for the Apostle Paul on the island of Malta, in the name of Jesus. Now give God a shout of praise in agreement right now. Praise him for his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor JC.
Praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Can you guys hear me? Okay, there I am. Amen. I have a whole lot of things going through my head right now. I always think of things like, I wish more people were here, but you know what? Too bad for them that they weren't here tonight to experience just God's blessing. If you don't put yourself in a position, if you don't come, you miss out. It's the way it is. But you guys didn't miss out tonight. Amen? Amen. 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 I don't think we're supposed to rename the church Rolls Royce Assemblies of God. I don't know. Josh might be along. You know what? I got this picture, though, in my mind when you said that, because most of you probably don't know this, that my mom used to have a Rolls Royce years ago, and my mom used to go around, we'd drive around, this would drive my sister crazy, but my mom would drive around up and down neighborhoods, and she would see something that, we go through these expensive neighborhoods, and she'd see stuff that the neighbors, or they put out in the trash, and she'd see it stop, pick that stuff out of the trash, put it in the trunk of her Rolls Royce. But I'm listening to the message, and I'm thinking, and then he's talking about how, like, our church is a Rolls Royce, right? And I'm thinking, my mom saw value in what other people saw as junk. And what I appreciate is so many years of being under Pastor Fight and Karen's leadership, that they saw value and what maybe other people would have seen as junk. Let us always see with the eyes of the Lord. Let us see with the eyes of the Lord. We're going to take up an offering for John and Meliana. If you guys want to return to your seats. Again, if you want to give by writing a check, just make it out to Pebble Creek. And in turn, we're going to make one check out to the Harkies and bless them. Rolls Royce Assemblies of God. That would be... that would get attention. And we have a Beverly Hills Baptist Church out there on Chrysler, so... Amen. Amen. Every year I've been blessed by the Harkies. This year is no exception. We'll have all of the messages. Now, only this morning's message will actually be like on YouTube and Facebook and stuff. But every message will be on audio, and I will do my best to make sure it gets on there this week. So, you know, if you want to go, I just encourage you. There's so much packed into these messages that you just need to listen to them over and over so you'll be able to do that. Lord willing, that all the audio work correctly, and we got it all. Also, if you want to go back and maybe listen to your... Now, I'm not going to go through and figure out who got prophesied this particular time, but you can go back, you know what night or what which service it was, you can go back and listen to it. Because I know personally, I'm so sometimes caught up in the moment, I need to go back and listen word by word by word to really... You know, I even write it out. I write out the prophecies that I've received, my family's received over the years, and it has blessed us so mightily. So thank you for coming again. Thank you for blessing us. Could the gentleman with the helping with that offering come up? This has been one of the fastest ones. Now, I know usually... We have five services. We've only technically had four, but it seems like it's gone by so quickly, quicker than I think. That usually means it was a good weekend. Let's pray. Yes. Lord, we praise you again. God, you have obviously servants all over the nation, all over the world, and we've been blessed by these two servants that you've called so many years ago into ministry, and they've been so faithful. And Lord, we've all been through shipwrecks. Maybe it was a business. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe finances. Maybe a health shipwreck, whatever the case may be. Lord, we've been through difficulties, but Lord, help us keep on this ship. Let us not get off the ship until you tell us it's time. But Lord, there's so many voices. Again, there's so many voices in this world today, but there's only one that matters, and that's your voice. Give us ears that are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the direction that you want us to go, God. I pray for weekends like this, it stirs up that sensitivity. It stirs up that belief that with God, all things are possible. And so, Lord, I pray, God, over this offering tonight and again, that you would bless it and multiply it. Use it to bless the Harkies. Use it as they are faithful to you. Open up more doors for them. God Almighty, we just glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, you have great things ahead for all of us, for Pebble Creek, for every individual, every family, every teenager, every old person, every young person. God, you have a plan. Lord, let us stay no matter what happens. God, we all probably know people going through storms. Let us be encouragers. Let us help people, Lord, to stay attached to the ship. God Almighty, help us. May you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bill, could you pull up Captain? This isn't really a worship song that we do it often. I normally do it for offerings, and we're taking an offering. But it goes right along with the message tonight, so that's why I want to do it. Through waters and charting, my soul will embark. I'll follow your voice straight into the dark. And if from the course you intend I depart, speak to the sails of my wandering heart. Like the wind, you'll guide, clear the sky for me, and I'll glide this open sea. Like the stars, your word will align my voyage and remind me where I've been and where lost in the shadows amidst fear and fog. Your truth is the compass that points me back north. Jesus, my captain, my soul's trusted Lord. All my allegiance is rightfully yours. Like the wind, like the wind, you'll guide, clear the skies before me, and I'll glide this open sea. Like the stars, your word will align my voyage and my captain, my soul's trusted Lord. All my allegiance is rightfully yours.
Amen. Amen. John Meliana, would you stand up, please? Would everyone please stand up also and just reach your hands towards them? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you again. We thank you again for the ministry that you've placed, Lord, the Harkies into. God, we know you're going to take them to more places to speak your life into more congregations. And Lord, I just pray your continued blessing upon them and their family, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you would continue to prosper them. Lord, protect them. Lord, but as they bring the word of life, the words of Jesus, the words of God Almighty, we pray, Lord Jesus, you continue to give them the ears to hear, the passion to pray, the passion to spend so much time in your presence, in your word. Lord, and I know that you redeem it. I know, Lord Jesus, that you use it to bless so many people. Lord, thank you for this couple. Thank you for blessing them. We love them, and we pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Again, they'll be back outside.